Good morning. Welcome to the Abundant Living Radio Broadcast. My name is Tim Huth, and I pastor the Stowe Falls Baptist Church in Cuyahoga Falls. Have your Bible open this morning to Proverbs chapter 1 for a message entitled, The Prosperity of Fools.
As I gaze upon my Savior and the wounds he bore for me, I will sing of his salvation, bought with blood upon the tree. While the host of angels listen to a song they cannot sing, I will voice my praise to Jesus with the song of the redeemed.
Okay, you have your Bible open to Proverbs chapter 1. If you're familiar with this book of the Bible, it's right in the middle of the Old Testament, written by Solomon, who was the king of Israel. He was the son of David. And he wrote this to his son. Now, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so, obviously, the Holy Spirit is the author. But he used Solomon to write this. And the perspective that it's written in is Solomon writing this to his son and just trying to instill in him the importance of hearing God's Word and then heeding those things, doing what he knows. And as he opens up the book in verse 2, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. And so he is challenging and he's encouraging his son to listen to what God has to say. And, you know, as we go through the Scriptures and God has revealed himself, the only revelation that we have of God is the Word of God. Now, we know the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. We know we look to creation, we look at the sky, we look at the moon, the stars, even the galaxies, and we look at the intricacies of the creation. We look at the creature, and certainly gives evidence of an intelligent design of a creator. But the truth that we have of who God is, his person, his righteousness, his holiness, his love, his grace, his mercy, his judgment, his wrath. These attributes, these truths about God, we learn from his word that he's given us. And so we are given the word of God, and we should respond to it in obedience. And so Solomon is encouraging his son to hear what God has to say and then to respond by being obedient. And so he gives him so many different warnings. And I don't know, years ago, somebody encouraged me to read a chapter out of Proverbs each day. And though I've taken seasons where I have not read it like that, I have read through multiple times. And it certainly is that there's so much practical wisdom in to live life and to how to live life in a way that God would be pleased with our living. And one of the warnings early on in the book of Proverbs that Solomon gives his son is to be careful of the prosperity of fools. And so he's giving this warning. In verse number 20 of Proverbs 1, it says, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. And then here's the command, verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And so God is crying out. He's saying, listen, I'm reaching out. I've given you creation to know that I exist. Within every one of us, God's given us a conscience that we know right and wrong. Inherently within us, we have the ability to know right and wrong, to distinguish between right and wrong, because God has put that in us. God says, I've given you things to know that I exist. I've given you creation, and I've given you a conscience. He says, but now I've given you my word, and I've given you clear instruction to repent of your own way, to repent of your sin, and to trust me, to follow me, to live your life according to my design, my purpose. And so Solomon, as he's writing this, he's saying, son, you have to hear what God has to say. You must heed and acknowledge him and his word. And so the warning is going out. And so as the chapter would progress, we learn that not only would these would some just not want to hear what God has to say, but then they would eventually begin to mourn that and mock the word of God, and to the point where God finally gives them a very strong warning in this chapter that there may come a time, and it will be judgment for sure, and they'll call out and say, "Well, we want to change our mind." God says, "Your time is over. Your judgment is sure." And if a person leaves this earth without having received Christ as their Savior, they don't get a second chance. We know there's a lot of religions and a lot of different organizations that teach things that range all over the map. But the Bible is clear. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And we all have an appointment with death that we can't postpone. We can't avoid. Death is not flexible. Now, the only hope that we would have of missing death would be the rapture of Jesus Christ, with which he'll return to this earth, and he will take out all of those who have put their faith in him prior to the seven-year tribulation that will pour out upon this earth. So, friend, we have that hope. But short of the rapture, there's no way that you or I or anyone else is going to beat death. There's an appointment. It's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the Bible says the judgment. What's the judgment? The judgment is when every person will give an account of themselves to God. And there'll be two judgments, one for the believers. These are the ones who died in faith. And God's going to judge them for what they did in their body, whether it was good or bad. And he's going to reward them for what they've done. And so some will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and they'll be rewarded for their good works. We see in the book of Revelation that these crowns that are given, these rewards that are given, will give us an opportunity, those who have earned them, to offer them back and give them back to the Lord, knowing that without him we could do nothing. And we will be praising him for his love and his mercy and his grace for coming into this earth through a virgin's womb, living a life we could never live, sinless and spotless, fulfilling all righteousness, and then going to the cross of Calvary to bleed and die for our sins, knowing that all of our sin was placed upon Jesus Christ on the cross. And the Bible says he bore our iniquity, which is the same word as sin. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross. And that we would look and see that, and then by faith put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that they took him from the cross, put him into a borrowed tomb, which also is unheard of. Nobody borrows a grave site. We don't go down to the cemetery and say, "I'd like to borrow a grave site." We buy them, we purchase them. But Jesus borrowed it because he wasn't planning on using it more than the 3 days that he said he'd be in there. Amen. And so the Bible says that they buried Christ on the third day. He rose again and is alive forevermore. And then he's going to come back someday, and he's going to receive unto himself those that put their faith in him. And then they're going to go home to heaven. There's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we're going to enjoy the celebration of our eternity now with the Lord. And then there'll be the judgment seat of Christ, where he will then reward the Christians, believers, for their service. And then during that time, as soon as the rapture begins, a seven-year tribulation period will begin on this earth. And the Bible says that these 7 years, God is specifically dealing with the nation of Israel. It's a time, the Bible calls a time of Jacob's trouble. It's Daniel's 70th week. It's where God is going to bring judgment, ultimately repentance, to the nation of Israel, and they will be drawn back to God. And at the end of that seven-year tribulation period, where the Bible says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would survive, at the end of that seven-year tribulation period is going to begin the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. So we would now, if you were following along in the scriptures, in Revelation 19, we see Jesus coming back now at the end of the tribulation period. He's on a white horse. Those of us who had been saved, who were there in heaven with him are coming back with him. He's going to rule and reign from New Jerusalem for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, there's going to be the great white throne judgment. This judgment is for all those who died without having trusted Christ as their personal Savior. In this judgment, the Bible says that whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life would be cast into the lake of fire. And so we know that their judgment is sure. They're going to hell forever. But also that they're going to be judged out of the books. The books will be open. And so they're going to be judged because of their works. And so we could only understand that that hell will be hotter for some than others. There'll be a greater judgment. And I know that even discussing these things really carries a lot of disagreements these days. It's amazing how many things have changed through the years, and people have discarded the most plain and simple truths of the Word of God. But the truth is that what God has lined out clearly in His Word is truth. Jesus said, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." And so, friends, we have simply, the truth does not originate in us. We are not the keepers of the truth. We are just proclaimers of the truth. And I'm thankful to be a believer of the truth. And somebody says, "Are you a believer?" I say, "Yes, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I am a believer in the Word of God." That brings me great joy, brings me peace, brings me comfort. And friends, so as Solomon is warning his son, God says, "Listen, I'm giving you an opportunity to hear what my word, and I'm giving you an opportunity to respond to it. But there's a warning attached to that. If we reject him, he will reject us." And so somebody says, "Well, I have hopes of getting to heaven and talking this out. And I have hopes of working this out." And Jesus is clear that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And so Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And friend, if you don't put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no hope of salvation. There'll be no working it out when you get to heaven. It's already been worked out. The Bible says before the foundations of the world, God made provision for the salvation of souls. And that provision is the Lamb of God, God becoming a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, living our life that we could not live, a life of holiness and a life of righteousness, going to the cross of Calvary, enduring our punishment for our sin, and then making the payment of our sin by shedding his righteous blood, being buried, rising again the third day, accomplishing or fulfilling all of the requirements of our salvation in himself, and then saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." And this is a salvation that God offers freely. And Jesus says, "All that come to me, I will in no wise cast out." And there is no repentance with God. He says that he has promised, if you would put your faith in Christ, he will save your soul. And that salvation is eternal. The Bible says that once a person puts their faith in Christ, they're born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And this is the hope that we have. And so as God is lining this out, and he says, "Listen, if you reject me, there's no other way. There's no other way." Friend, and so if you're listening this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you. If God is drawing you, if he's convicting your heart, and now you're hearing these things, but maybe for the first time you're understanding, it's making sense, then just bow your head before the Lord and just confess to him, "Yes, Lord, I know I need to be saved. I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that Christ provided that salvation with his own sacrifice for me on the cross, and I'm placing my faith in him." And that's God's promise to you. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so that's God's promise. And so he goes on, Solomon, as he's teaching his son, and then he gives him a warning that I want to share this morning. And his warning is in verse number 30. It says, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Verse 31, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And so he's lining out, look, those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they are going to sorrow for this someday. They will be sorry that they rejected him. They are going to have to receive the reward for the decision that they made. And the Bible says in verse 32 that the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And so I want to look just for a moment here at the phrase prosperity of fools. What does that mean? Well, it's somewhat like what we would see today, and even maybe somebody listening this morning to this radio broadcast. And so I'm nobody special. I'm no better than any other man. And in all reality, we're not measured on our goodness, because there's none good, no, not one. The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that we shouldn't measure ourselves among ourselves. And but every once in a while, if you're giving the truth and you're preaching righteousness, you're preaching holiness, you know, people tend to pick you apart and call you a hypocrite, and we all struggle, friend. It's not about our successes; it's about Him and about the Lord. But oftentimes, it doesn't seem. People look and they say, "Well, if you're telling me that people who haven't trusted Christ are going to hell, you tell me that people who don't believe the Bible are on the wrong path. Well, it looks like they're doing good to me," and so there's some confusion. Especially with young people, as Solomon is telling his son, listen, this way that the world lives, this unrighteous lifestyle, it's not good, and it's going to cost you, and you're not going to succeed in this. And then, so this young man may be looking around, like a lot of our young men, our young girls are looking around today. They're saying, well, I don't know. It looks like the world's having a lot of fun, and it seems like they're doing really well. And so we say, well, I mean, I don't know, maybe you don't, but I've taught my children to be careful with Hollywood, and I've never seen anything come out of Hollywood that was worth the believers' time nor their money. And so all they do is promote ungodliness, and they promote worldly music, worldly dress, I mean, adultery, fornication, drug abuse, drunkards, all the way through. And so this is the entertainment that fills our television sets and our theaters. But our children, they look and they say, well, these people, they've got a great life, and look at all the money they're making. They've got these nice houses, they've got these nice cars, and they've got this glamorous lifestyle. And the Bible says, be careful of the prosperity of fools. And you say, well, what's a fool? Well, the Bible defines a fool as somebody that says there's no God, or somebody that believes in a false God. And so these people go on and they say, well, we don't believe in God. We don't believe in the Bible. We don't believe that Jesus Christ came into this earth. We don't believe that Jesus died for our sins. We don't believe that He rose again. And we don't believe that we need Him to save our souls. And so God says, that's a fool. And so you look and you say, well, what's happening? Well, they're prospering in their life. They're having a what would look like a good life. Same thing with the rock and roll industry and the music industry through the years. It has yielded a lot of prosperity. I mean, people do really well, and it's the entertainment business. But whenever the music and the lyrics, and they glorify fornication, they glorify drug abuse, drunkardness, they glorify violence, they glorify ungodliness, and they make a mockery of the Word of God. They make a mockery of Jesus Christ. And so somebody would say, "Man, if they're that ungodly, why are they prospering?" And so maybe the faith or the opportunity to believe the truth is blinded, because somebody says, if these people are wrong, why are they doing so well? And so the young people, they look and they say, if these people are so wrong, why are they doing so well? And Solomon, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, makes this warning to his son. He says, listen, don't be confused by the prosperity of fools. Don't be confused by that. Yes, maybe it does look like they're doing well. Maybe it does look like they're enjoying life and that they don't have any problems. But listen, the day will come when they will have to face this. And even now, do we despise these people? Do we hate these people? Not at all. And we would want to get them the truth. I mean, how many have never even heard? I wonder how many of these folks in this lifestyle have never even heard the gospel. We must get them the gospel so that they can have the opportunity to make their decision. But the emphasis is not so much on that person. It's on the prosperity right now that says, even though somebody's doing wrong, they can still prosper. You know, even as a believer, one of the worst things that could happen is to succeed in something that's not God's will for your life. And so you make a decision and all of a sudden it's working out well, but it's not God's will. That is not good. And so we see this world, they're prospering. And a lot of times the young people are saying, I hear what you're saying. You're telling me that Jesus is the only way and that I should live a life according to the word of God. And that's the only good life I can have. But I'm looking at the world and these people who are doing these ungodly things, but they have a good life, and I'm confused. And so that's the prosperity of fools. In Proverbs chapter 14, in verse number 12, the Bible says, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Now, friend, I just want you to consider this. You may say, "Look, you're crazy. I'm hearing what you're saying, and you're off the charts." And all I would ask you to do is consider this. Hey, what if you're wrong? The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. You say, "You know what? I'm living my life however I want, and it seems right." But God says the end thereof is the ways of death. See, the Bible says sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. It never said that there's not pleasure in sin. As a matter of fact, Moses' decision when he decided to follow God, he said that he was not going to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but that he would go forward and serve God. There's pleasure in sin, friend, but it's only for a season. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The founding pastor of the Massillon Baptist Temple, Pastor Bruce Cummings, he said he's with the Lord now. Said through the years, what is such an encouragement. But he used to give this statement. He says, "Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay." And friend, that is the truth. And so we're looking around us and we're saying, "Well, I don't know. The world seems to be doing okay." Friend, sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. They're not doing okay. They are not doing okay. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no hope of escaping the judgment that's coming someday. In Psalm 73, I'd encourage you, if you get a chance, maybe to read this psalm. But you know what? The psalmist is saying, "I don't know. I'm trying to do right, and it's just difficult. I'm trying to do what I ought to do, and it's just hard. And I'm looking around me, and it just seems like it's easy for everyone else. And they're wicked, and they're doing all this ungodliness. It seems like it's easy for them, and I just don't understand." And the psalmist is almost getting weary. Maybe you're getting weary this morning. Maybe you're thinking, "I don't know, I'm trying to do right, but it's just more difficult. Every time I try to do right, it costs me more. Every time I try to do right, it's another trial, it's another hardship." And listen, friend, that does not mean you're not on the right track. God says, "Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season you'll reap if you faint not." And he says, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as if some strange thing is happening unto you. Friend, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." God never said it's going to be easy, but he did say he would go with us every step of the way. Be strong in the Lord, and be strong in the power of his might. And so the psalmist was getting weary. He says, "I don't understand." And he's almost calling out to God. Really, he's saying, "Look, I don't understand." And then he says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." The prosperity of fools, it looks like it's working. They're mocking God. They're enjoying all of the ungodliness, unrighteousness. And somebody says, "It just seems like it's working." Friend, it's not working. It's not working. "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I want to encourage you. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Repent of your sin. Put your faith in Him. And there will be a true future. God bless you, friend. Have a great day. Well, I hope that the lesson this morning was a help to you. If there's anything that I can do for you or our church, we are the Stowe Falls Baptist Church, located at 1601 Monroe Falls Avenue. That's in Cuyahoga Falls. You could call us at area code 330-688-7437, or you can visit us on our website at StoweFallsBaptistChurch.com. God bless you, friend. Have a great day.